Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to Christ Central Presbyterian Church as we gather to worship our great God on this third Sunday of Advent. I do want to call your attention to the connection card that's in the chair pocket in front of you and invite you to fill it out. You can drop this in the offering plate when that comes by later on in the service. And there's also a place on this card to write down any prayer requests that you may have. A couple announcements. We do have our annual congregational meeting today. It'll be immediately after the worship service, and all are certainly welcome to attend, though only church members are able to vote on the election of church officers. And also, we invite you to come back again this evening at 6 p.m. for our cookies and carols event. We'll be gathering right here in the sanctuary for a time of worship and singing wonderful carols, and then off into the lobby to enjoy some fellowship and, of course, some yummy cookies. So come back for that. And then also, to remind you, we do have our Christmas Eve worship service. It'll be at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday evening, December the 24th. And so do invite you to come to that and to bring family and friends and neighbors. And also, not in the bulletin, we did send out an email announcement. We do have an ESL training that is scheduled for January the 19th and 20th, which is a Friday evening and all day Saturday. And if you are remotely interested and being involved or learning more about an ESL ministry here at this church, this would be a good training to attend. What you can do is just mark ESL on your connection card, and we will follow up with you this week. We do invite you to read through the bulletin. All the announcements we have in there are important. And if you have any electronic devices, we'd ask if you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode so that will not distract us from what we've gathered here to do this morning. And so at this time, I want to call Jenny Bremer forward. She will lead us in our call to worship and light our Advent candle.
The third candle is the shepherd's candle. We must recognize that we, like the shepherds, must come to Christ, believe in him, and tell this good news to others. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Luke 2:8-11.
Well, I invite you to stand as we sing our opening hymn, number 225.
Thank you.
Father, we gather with the heavenly host this morning to give glory and praise to you. We rejoice that you are with us and that you are mighty to save. You are the one who redeems us and increases our joy. Our desire is that you would find our worship pleasing in your sight, for we approach you through our Savior, who is Christ the Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, let us join our voices together with all those who have gone before us by declaring what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, the first 7 verses. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Coming now to a time of confession, I invite you to bow your heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are sinners who have been brought to repentance only by grace. We acknowledge that there is nothing in us that brings us to this place except your power at work within us. We are unworthy servants. So, Father, even now, will you work in us? Will you bring repentance to us anew? Will you bring to mind the sins that we have committed this past week, even this morning, that we may find refuge at the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ? And so, Father, in this brief time of silence, would you receive our silent prayers of confession? And Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? O God of all goodness, what shall we render to thee for the gift of gifts? Thine own dear Son, our Redeemer, proxy, surety, and substitute. Herein is love. He came below to raise me above. He was born like me that I might become like him. Herein is wisdom. When I was undone, with no will to return to him, he came, God incarnate, to save me from my sin, to shed satisfying blood on my behalf, to work out perfect righteousness for me. O God, take me in spirit to the watchful shepherds. Let me hear good tidings of great joy, and hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, adore, and serve. To the glory of thy holy name, amen. Our assurance of pardon this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Amen.
Thank you.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 1, the first seven verses. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of our Lord.
Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship once again during the Advent season. Lord, we come as a needy people. You noticed our need and saved us by your grace when we first met Christ. And we continue by your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us at all times, not only in corporate worship, but day by day throughout our lives. Father, we come this morning and we lay our requests before you. We pray for our world, a world at war, a world filled with many of the effects of sin, with hatred and strife and terrorism. Father, we pray for peace. We pray that at this time of the year, many would hear the good news of the gospel, that they would discover peace first and foremost in their life, in their heart. And then they would live as men and women of peace and be a blessing to many others. We pray for our nation. We pray for our state of Florida, for our city of Tampa. We pray for our church, Lord, that it would be a bright light shining for everyone to see and to respond to. May they always hear the gospel, and may they find love and acceptance in this place as we have with you. Father, be with those who are sick and ill. We ask, Lord, that you would be with Elaine Crescent in the loss of her brother Wayne this past week. Give her comfort and grace, Lord. We ask that you would be with David Barden, who discovered cancer, returned to his body this past week. Father, give him strength and grace. Pray that you would heal his body and raise him up. Lord, give us cause for rejoicing there. We also pray for Glee Hamilton, who suffered a stroke. Ask, Lord, that you would give her grace and mercy and healing in her body. Pray that you would raise her up soon and that she would be able to leave the rehab center. Father, we pray for Tom Teachin. Lord, you would strengthen his body and continue to help him to heal after his hospitalization this past week. Bless him, Lord, this day. We also pray for Alex Johnson, who was in a car wreck, Lord, and we thank you that he's all right. We ask, Lord, that you would give him strength and whatever injuries that he did suffer, that you would heal his body and make him whole. Father, we lift up our lives before you. We pray for our missionaries. We ask, Lord, that you would be with them as they share the good news. We pray for Rodney and Jana Davila. We pray for Don Vanderplug. We pray for Dave and Paige Hawes, for Andrew Newman, Steve Light, SIEATN, and B. Kirk. Father, we lift up all of these and pray that you would bless their respective ministries and use them for your honor and glory. Lord, now we devote ourselves more and more to hear you speak to us through your word throughout this service. Bless us as we move in that direction. Even now, as we pray that model prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I invite you to stand as we sing our offertory hymn number 223. Would you pray with me? Father, indeed, what great things you have done for us. You have created us, redeemed us. You love us, are present with us, and you supply all our needs. And so we thank you. And as an act of worship this morning, we bring to you our tithes and our offerings. We ask that you would use these gifts for your glory, that your name may be magnified over the whole earth. And it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's stand in honor of our King. Please be seated. You could take your copy of the Word of God and open with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. I love this story of the birth of Jesus, as it has a tendency to focus on the shepherds. And of course, today we lit the candle in light of the shepherds, the shepherd candle or the pink candle. And so I thought we'd focus for a few minutes on this birth narrative. I want you to notice three things this morning as this passage unfolds very neatly for us. First of all, the difficult circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth. The difficult circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth. And we see that in verses 1 through 7. And then secondly, I want you to notice the chosen recipients to hear the good news of Jesus' birth, the chosen recipients. And that is in verses 8 through 14. And then finally, the obedient response to Jesus' birth. And we see that in verses 15 through 20. So along with a synopsis of the message, Join me in prayer, and let's ask God to be our master teacher through his Spirit as we study together today. Father, we pray now that you would get all the praise and the honor and the glory from your word being preached and the foolishness of it. Lord, we pray that you would touch hearts, open eyes, save those who are lost, and disciple the saved. And we'll give you praise and glory for all that you will do in our lives, individually and corporately. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, notice with me, first of all, the difficult circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth. This is a birth story, the birth of the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every birth of a child is a marvelous event. It brings into being a soul that will never die. But never since the world began was a birth so marvelous as the birth of Jesus Christ. It was a miracle. God was made manifest in flesh, according to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16. And the blessings that this marvelous birth brought into the world were unspeakable. It opened the door of everlasting life for all who would believe, all who would receive Jesus. Nevertheless, Jesus was born under some very difficult circumstances, which Luke outlines for us in these first seven verses. I want you to notice four things that demonstrate difficult circumstances. Number one, displacement. We see that in verses 1 through 4. Joseph was forced to leave his home with his fiancée and go to Bethlehem to register for this census. This was not a good time for a road trip, whether voluntary or by force. You have to uproot and leave in order to be counted in your hometown and really for the reason to be taxed. The Jews hated Rome, and yet Rome held sway. And this is one of the lowest times of all times for the Jews. No wonder the Lord chose this occasion to send his son into the earth. It was a time of displacement. It was also a time of scandal. Look at verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Mary was Joseph's fiancée, but she was already pregnant. Imagine how scandalous that would be. You know, a lot of times when there's a scandalous situation such as this, people like to remain confined. They don't want to be out and about amongst others. And yet, here is Mary, who was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit, who carries the Christ child. And Joseph and Mary had to go publicly, along with a lot of other people, to Bethlehem. Not only is there displacement and scandal, but there's inconvenience. Look at verse 6. You see, Mary wasn't just a month or two along. She was at full term. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Talk about bad timing. Can you imagine having to get up and be displaced from your home, having to go publicly because of all the scandal associated with this birth, the fact that the world didn't know yet, didn't understand yet that this was the Christ child and not Joseph's natural child. And now it was inconvenient. They got to Bethlehem, of course, with many, many other people who had to go to Bethlehem to register. So not only was there displacement and scandal and inconvenience, there was homelessness. Look at verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Talk about difficult circumstances. Mary was forced to deliver the baby Jesus in a cow stable, a filthy cow stable, because there was no room for them in the inn. I tried to imagine this past week what that would be like. I think in our day and time, something akin to that would be giving birth under a bridge, under an overpass of an interstate highway, or in your car. You know, a lot of people have no choice. I'm sure when you drive around Tampa, you see folks that are homeless. They have no place to go. They have no resources. And so often they live under bridges. That's Jesus' situation. There's displacement, there is scandal, there is inconvenience, there is homelessness, and we could even say rejection. The Son of God was born to a virgin, and they appeared in Bethlehem to register, and they couldn't find a place in the inn. I wonder if the family was even counted whenever the census was taken. Now, Jesus was born in the midst of all these lousy circumstances. And yet God the Father was aware of all of it. He was overseeing all of it, the entire situation. I think this is remarkable. We hear so often about Jesus Christ and people who preach somewhat of a gospel, who talk about how wonderful life is and how great everything will be if you embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, here is the Word of God bearing testimony to the Son of God being born in a situation and circumstances that are not anything like that description. It's tough. Perhaps some of us may feel displaced this morning. You've had to leave familiar surroundings due to work or school, perhaps some other reason. You're on the road for now, and the future seems uncertain. Perhaps some of us are living in the middle of some scandal. Someone has villainized us, slandered us, hurt us. Perhaps we've made some poor choices and we're dealing with the consequences. We feel like there's scandal in our lives or reason for it. Perhaps some of us feel like life is rarely convenient and usually hard. We're looking for a break, but it seems so rare when life works out. Our finances, our children, the timing of our situation always seems bad. I've talked to people before, Christians, who live life as if they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. When is the Lord going to whack me again? Well, Jesus was born with very, very bad timing, humanly speaking. Some of us may even be homeless or heading in that direction. You know, I remember the financial impact of 9/11. 9/11 happened in 2001. The economy was really good. It was cranking out. And all of a sudden, the Twin Towers fell. And the financial impact from that alone, people lost their jobs. People lost a sense of financial security. People even lost their homes. Some had to live with relatives, relocate. See, what I'm saying this morning is you're not alone. You're not alone. Like the Lord Jesus, God is very much aware of your situation. These are horrible circumstances for the Son of God to come into the world according to a human perspective, but from a divine perspective, all it does is make Jesus more approachable. All it does is make Jesus more attractive. Because sin has made a mess in this world. And if you're honest about it, there are needs in your life and needs in my life that drive us to the Savior. And we need a Savior that we can identify with, and He has identified with us in our need. Don't despair if you're facing difficult circumstances this morning. Ordinarily, that is the very ticket to embracing the gospel and living out your faith in Christ. Well, those are the difficult circumstances surrounding them. Now, notice, secondly, the chosen recipients to hear the good news of Jesus' birth. Luke transitions in verse 8 to a hillside. He introduces us to some unlikely recipients of the announcement of Jesus' birth, the shepherds. Look at verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, an angel sent from the Lord appears to these shepherds with good news. In verse 9, "and they were terrified." And notice the simple elements of the angel's good news and message in verses 10 through 12. He says, first of all, "Don't be afraid. There's no need to fear. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Notice the good news is both personal and universal. I bring you good news, and it shall be for all the people. That is, all the people groups of the world. But right now, first and foremost, for you personally. And then the message of Christmas, verse 11. A Savior has been born to you. The very term Savior points to the fundamental reason for the advent of Jesus, to save a people for himself from the consequences of their sin. He also says in verse 11, he is Christ the Lord. Now this Savior, Jesus, also is the reigning Lord. He is God in your life. Jesus is no superhuman. He is the God-man, full deity, full humanity. And then the angel tells him where to find this baby. Verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The reality of the message was not hidden or difficult to find. The angel made it very clear. And if all that weren't enough, look at verses 13 and 14. A great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace to men on whom his favor rests. All of a sudden, the whole angels of all heaven appeared and began praising God. You know, a world consumed with a census, with counting people for purposes of taking something from them, their money. God revealed himself to those who didn't count much at all. There's a reason why the shepherds were living on the hillside. Most people didn't like shepherds. They were very, very low on the socioeconomic totem pole. In fact, Egyptians loathed shepherds. We learn that in the Old Testament. And yet God chose to reveal the glorious announcement of the birth of his son to these lowly shepherds. Why is that? Perhaps because they would pay heed to what God was doing and saying. Unlike so many others who have a desire for other things, which tend to drown out the news of the gospel. I believe this portion of the passage teaches us that God's favor rests not on those the world calls important, but upon the humble, the lowly, those who are hungry spiritually. You see, the shepherds had nothing and they were nothing. And that's the whole point. God made it clear his favor rests upon lowly shepherds and many others who are humble, who seek the face of God, and who know what their need is to be forgiven. And his sovereign electing favor is what makes us willing to stop, to listen, to receive, and to act on this glorious news. I think that's magnificent, the last phrase, peace to men on whom his favor rests. There's the sovereign Lord of the universe. And he targeted out these humble shepherds in order to give them the good news. A summary would be, don't be afraid. There's good news for you and everyone around you. We all need a Savior to rescue us from our sins. And the Lord Jesus was born for this very purpose. In addition to being our Savior, he's also Christ our Lord, Lord of heaven and earth, God in flesh. And furthermore, this Savior and Lord is not hiding from you. He will be found by all who seek after him. So the Lord singled out these shepherds because of his sovereign grace and favor. And that's consistent with the rest of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before him. You see, one of the remarkable things about these shepherds is when the angel told them that they had a Savior, they didn't start saying, well, great, you're going to save us from Rome. You're going to save us from taxation and financial collapse. You're going to save us from the domination of this lousy country. No. They knew down deep inside they needed a Savior. They needed a Savior. So they didn't need every question answered at that moment of what it was going to happen. Would there be a cross and a resurrection? They didn't know. All they did know is what they needed to be saved from chiefly. And that was not Rome or excessive taxation. It was their sin. And that's what made them excited. Perhaps it's time for us to stop and listen and to receive and act on this good news. To put it another way, God seems to delight to make his presence known in the midst of the mundane or the difficult, to simple people whose lives are not choking on the hustle and bustle of the priorities of this world system. The people who know that they're sinners and that they need salvation. And hopefully every one of us is in that boat. We Americans can't stand the quiet associated with Christmas and the birth of a Savior. We absolutely cannot stand it. That's why Hollywood makes all these lousy movies every Christmas. I have never seen such silly, mindless, ridiculous movies until Christmas rolls around. And then Hollywood just seems to crank them out. And people sing. People sing who can't sing. I went to the airport last night to pick up Diane, and there was a crowd or older folks that were singing in a choir, and nobody could sing. The music was horrible. I was texting Diane. I said, please get here soon, or I'm going to throw myself on the tarmac. I looked at the poor woman over there working the desk, and I felt sorry for her. She just was like this, you know, and she had to listen to that all day long. Bad movies, bad music, noise, confusion, busyness, TV commercials with women hugging cars and jewelry, as if this were essential to the Christmas message. No. The shepherds remind us to stop, look, listen. If you do, you may experience the glory that is Christmas. Christ, our Savior, was born. And he came into a world to lay his life down on the cross and bleed to death so that your sin and my sin would be atoned for and we would have eternal life. Well, quickly, look at the response, the obedient response to Jesus' birth. The angels came to those whom God had chosen, the shepherds, to receive the announcement of the birth of the Son of God. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. In verses 15 and 16, they immediately went to Jesus. They believed the good news. Again, they didn't ask a billion questions. All they knew is they had a Savior, and he was in Bethlehem, and that's where they were going to hightail it. They immediately went to Jesus. And that's salvation, folks. Over and over again, the Bible says, come. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I was reading Charles Spurgeon the other day in his devotional. He says, the Bible responds saying, come, come, come. And once we come to Jesus and we have our sins forgiven, then we say, come, Lord Jesus. We look forward to his return, because we know him. I look forward to my wife's return, 4 weeks away. I couldn't wait. Got there at the airport just waiting for her to get off that plane. That's something akin to us waiting for Jesus, because we have a relationship. We know him. He knows us inside and out. And we look forward to his return. Not only that, they spread the good news about him. Look at verses 17 and 18. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. They spread the good news. Then they returned home in verse 20 glorifying God and praising God for all their experiences. See, there is belief and obedience and joy. That's what takes place whenever people come to Christ, whenever they respond obediently to the gospel of God's grace. And this is what they did. And Luke adds, verse 19, that unlike the shepherds, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. See, Mary's example reminds us that while there's a time to act, to engage in the work of Christ, to evangelize like these shepherds did, there also should be a time to grow, to read, to meditate, to study, to ponder these things. Both are necessary, and one is incomplete without the other. And furthermore, they should be taking place simultaneously. The shepherds did not wait to get fully educated in the gospel before they shared it with somebody else. Jesus had come into their life, and they were changed. And that's all that mattered. They were willing to tell anyone who would listen. The same Bible that teaches us to go into all the world and make disciples also teaches, be still and know that I'm God. And to meditate on God's word, like the man of Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of God, and he meditates on it day and night. You see, there's a time to seek, to find, to rejoice, and to tell others that we have found the gospel of God's grace. But there's also a time to study and to sit quietly and contemplate and reflect on these mysteries that we call the Christian faith. And we're called to do both. These verses reveal that both the shepherds and Mary were touched deeply. They were moved deeply by the birth of the Son of God. Has the good news of the gospel of God's grace had an impact in your life like that? Where you want to tell others? You want to go to Jesus and run to him? You want to sit sometimes just look at his word and contemplate? Do you know Christ as your Savior and Lord? Not to save you from a test. Not to save you from financial ruin. Not to save you from 1,000 other circumstances that we all go through at various times. But to save you from your sin. To save me from my sin. Have you taken the time to ask the question in the hymn we're about to sing? What child is this? What child is this? That's what Christmas is. We take the time to discover the Christ and to make sure that we are trusting him by faith and that he lives by his Spirit inside of our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, it's been a tough week. A lot of interruptions with the computer and sound this morning. Perhaps there is some or one here today that needs to hear the gospel, to experience a true, authentic Christmas for the first time. I pray that, Lord, you would use your word, that you would rivet it to our hearts, and that your Holy Spirit would bring us to life if we don't know you. And Lord, if we do, we pray that we would respond like Mary and the shepherds, to contemplate and study your word, to have a life of joy, and to tell others how to come to Jesus too. Father, do all these things and more. We'll give you the praise and glory for all that you will do through your powerful word. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 213. What child is this? And we'll stand and sing all the verses. Thank you.
Once again, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. If you are a guest or a visitor, we are glad that you're here. We'll have a time of coffee and conversation in the lobby immediately outside the sanctuary, and Bible study for all ages beginning at 11. Momentarily, we will reconvene in here for our congregational meeting, but until then, receive the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.